In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For weeks now, Christ has prepared us for his visible absence. He promised that it was for our good. He promised also he would send to us the Holy Spirit. 10 days ago, he ascended into heaven. A crucified brother sits at the right hand of God. All authority is his. He fills heaven and earth. He rules over all things. And today, he keeps his promise as he pours out his Holy Spirit upon his church. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But we are troubled. The news distracts us. Work and family and money and chores demand our attention. These things are not sinful in and of themselves, but we let them consume our attention so that we forget our purpose here on earth. Instead, we race to get to the weekend so we can do the things that we want to do. We race to get to the end of the day so that we can do what we want. And so the lie of Satan still fills our mind. You can be like God. We want to do what we want and to be masters of our own lives. Yet we're afraid because our sins weigh heavy on us. What we have done and what we have neglected to do. The law of God is our joy and delight, and at the same time, it looms over us, unfulfilled by our dusty hands. Our week did not go the way we wanted, and neither did the weekend. Sin decorated our lips and actions. Knowing God's commandments only brought greater sins to mind. We do not confess that which we see. We confess what the Lord sees. Lord, forgive my hidden faults. We resolve that tomorrow will be better, but we are still left with the sins of today. We are worthy of hell. We deserve God's wrath and anger. We have racked up the debt. So Christ sends his Holy Spirit in power to remind us of all that Christ has said and done. 2,000 years ago, he came with the sound of a rushing wind and was manifest in tongues of fire. The apostles spoke in languages, each one telling the mighty works of God found in Christ Jesus. They spoke of his death, his resurrection, his ascension. They preached the forgiveness that he won. They called men to repent from their sins and to believe in Christ. Some did. Others mocked them. And yet there were some who believed and were baptized and were filled with the same Holy Spirit. And so it continues on today. Pastors speak the word as they are carried along by this Holy Spirit. He directs their thoughts. He shapes their words. He enables them to proclaim Christ for the forgiveness of sins. For he calls men by the gospel. He enlightens them with his gifts. He sanctifies and he keeps them in the faith. As he came in the sound of a rushing wind, so now he comes in the sound of human words. When the word is preached, there is the Spirit, there is the mighty word, there is the tongues of fire giving forgiveness, peace, and life. The Spirit has bound himself to the word. He will not work outside of it, but he always works through it to comfort your troubled heart. So ministers continue to speak of the mighty works of God. The story of salvation is nothing new, but was promised to the patriarchs, prophets, and kings. The Spirit opens our eyes to see Jesus of Nazareth as the fulfillment of the scriptures. Christ is the Adam who is in the image of God and from whom we derive our life. He is the Abel who was killed by his own and yet he lives. He is the Enoch who ascended into heaven. He is the Noah who preached the righteousness of God and then by his life and death won that righteousness. He is the Moses who set his people free from slavery by water. He is the Aaron who entered the Holy of Holies with his own blood so that you might be cleansed. He is the Joshua who leads his people into the promised land of heaven, again through water. He is the Samson who willingly died to save you. He is the David who defeats all your enemies. He is the Solomon who brings to you great riches and prosperity and peace and joy. Carried along by the Holy Spirit, we preach Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, so that believing you may have life in his name. How powerful is preaching? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Scriptures were not written to adorn your coffee table, but to be preached and spoken, heard and received. It is the life-giving message of God. God forbid that we ever get rid of it, ignore it, or try to make it more exciting. For then we would be treating it as the words of men, the work of men, and the ideas of men, not as the Spirit-filled work of God. The third commandment instructs us. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Preaching is sacred because it is the Holy Spirit in action. So listen attentively and joyfully. Listen and you will hear him rushing to your ears and heart. Listen and he will implant the ascended Lord in your heart. These words are truth and life. Faith comes from hearing the word. So insist that your pastor preaches Christ to you and pray for him, that the Spirit may guide his thoughts and his words when he stands in the pulpit and sits at his desk. God could have sent angels, but he didn't. He could have given each one of us a special revelation from heaven, but he doesn't. He works through men. He ties himself to their words so that through their weaknesses and shortcomings and struggles, he might save you. For in weakness, we quickly realize who is our strength. Not by the strength of our hand or the cunning of our pastors, but by the Holy Spirit are we saved. The Holy Spirit made timid fishermen, bold apostles who preached to the ends of the earth. He made enemies of God, children of God. He made sinners saints. He made the dead alive. And he accomplished all of that not with flashes of power or visions, but with words, with preaching, with teaching. For the word of God is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So the story of Pentecost is the story of the Holy Spirit working through his word. It's a story that continues to this very day. On that first Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized. 3,000 believed Jesus Christ was their Savior. 3,000 received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through baptism. And then it concludes by saying, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. What is this but the divine service? The apostles' teaching is the word of God. Fellowship is not coffee and donuts. That's socializing, and there is a place for that. But Christian fellowship is the Holy Communion, the breaking of bread. And so it continues on to this day. Let us devote ourselves to the preaching of God's word and to the reception of the Holy Supper, for through them the Holy Spirit is poured out on us to strengthen and sustain our faith until Christ returns as he has promised. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.